Welcome to the Elementary Librarian Podcast, where we discuss simple tips and tricks to help you take your school library to the next level. And now your host, Jocelyn Sam.
Hello to everyone out there, and welcome to Elementary Librarian Podcast number 3. Today I'm going to be discussing why I use library stations in my library or library centers. I'm going to be answering frequently asked questions about my library lesson plans, and also I'm going to tell you about how you can win an iPad mini from elementarylibrarian.com. So today we'll start out with library stations or library centers. I usually call them library stations in my library, but I know both terms are interchangeable. I started using library centers or stations a while back when I started my very first library media position about 4 years ago, well, almost 5 years ago. And the school that I worked at the time was not the best school in terms of test scores or student behavior. We had a lot of very low income students and a lot of problems at home. And so when I would take the students for library class, it was kind of a struggle, especially because at that particular school, I had an entire hour with each class, which is kind of a long time, especially with the younger students. But that was the cards that I was dealt, so I had to, you know, make do with what I had. And so I was trying to at first. It was my very first library job, and so, you know, I really wanted to be a great teacher. And at first, I tried to stand up in front of the students and present a lesson to them, and we would try to do some interactive activities and things of that nature. But what I discovered was standing in front of a group of students, especially the students at the school I was at, for an hour just wasn't working. And so what I decided to do was to try something new, and I decided to implement library stations. And the way that I did that in that particular school environment was to give each station about 20 minutes, because like I said, I had an hour. And so we would stay in each station for approximately 20 minutes. And that worked really, really well. Well, fast forward to now, 2 years later, I'm working in a different school district at a different school, and I now have 35 minutes with my classes. And that sounds like a pretty long time, but when you're talking about rotating stations, it's really not that long, because if you had three different stations, you know, by the time you got the students in and got them settled, you would only have maybe 10 minutes per station if you were lucky. And I tried it a couple of weeks, and it just wasn't working the way that I wanted it to. And so one night I was fussing to my husband. I was like, yeah, you know, I really love to use library stations, but it's just not working in this time format, and there's just no way I can do it. And he said to me, well, why don't you just rotate them every week instead of rotating them during the class period? So in essence, they would do one station 1 week. Then the next week they would go to a different station, and the next week they would go to a different station. And so at first I was like, no, no, there's no way that could work. And then I started thinking about it, and I thought, yeah, that could really maybe work. So I put together 1 month's worth of stations for my classes, and what we did is the very first week of the month, I gave an overview, and so I told the students, okay, this is what we're going to be doing this month during library class. You will go to, you know, this station 1 week, the next week your same group will go to another station, and then the next week your same group will go to the third station. And so you will get to do all three stations in the month, but you will not get to do them all on the same day. And so that idea actually worked really, really well. And what I do is I split the students into teams, so they always have the same team, unless I have some kind of behavior issue that I need to fix. You know, they may change for that reason. But otherwise, I give them different teams, and I actually named the team's color names. For instance, I have the red team, the blue team, and the white team. And the students always know which team they're on every time. I do try to get my behavior students in different teams, of course. You know, you want to think about things like that. What I do is I use something called Super Teacher Tools, and I'll give a link to that in the show notes. It is a free internet program or internet tool where you can input your student names and it will actually create groups for you. And so you don't have to spend a lot of time, you know, dividing everyone up into groups. This will sort of do that for you. Now, you may have to do some moving around, like I said, due to behavior problems. But as long as you keep that in the front of your mind, it will be pretty easy to get your students into groups. And I, for the first few times, I put them in a spreadsheet, just a simple Excel spreadsheet. And I just stick it up on the smart board the first few times the students come in, just so they can remember in case they've forgotten which team they're on. But after the first couple of times, they get it really easily. This station idea can even work with a limited amount of time. I know some of you guys don't have 35 minutes in a library class, or that you also have to add in checkout in there. And I know that throws a little bit of a wrench into things. But this station idea can even work with those kind of situations. And the way that I would do it, if I had to do checkout at the same time as library class, I don't have to do that right now. I actually have a separate day for library book checkout, which is really nice to have, and I'm very glad that I have that. But I know a lot of you guys, you see your students only one time a week, and so you have to get checkout done, and you also have to get library skills done in that time. And I realize that can be tricky. So I want to give you a couple of ideas of how to make that work. First of all, you could make checkout a station. Depending on how much time you have, if you maybe have a little bit more time than I do, say maybe you have, you know, 45 minutes or maybe 50 minutes, you could do a rotation in the same class period. So the students would go to each center in one class period, and checkout would be one of those stations. You would still be a little bit crunched for time doing it that way, so I don't know if I would recommend that as, you know, maybe the first thing to try, but that could be an option. Or you could maybe just do two stations that day. You know, maybe they go to their station and they do a checkout station. Then the next week, they trade stations and they do a new station and the checkout station. So what I'm saying is just to split your time a little bit. That might be one option for you. Another option might be if you have 30 minutes, you would do stations for 18 to 20 minutes of that 30 minutes and then do checkout for 10 minutes. So it's sort of the same thing as what I just said, just a different way of saying it, a different way of thinking about it. So those are some options for those of you who want to try stations, but maybe you're a little bit apprehensive because you have some special situations in your class. So moving on to how stations work in my lesson plans, I've had a lot of questions about my station rotations in the lesson plans, and so I wanted to talk about that for just a few minutes. So in my lesson plans, week one is an overview when I do stations. I don't do stations with every grade level every month. And so if you purchase the lesson plans, you'll need to look and see if stations are a part of that month or not. Sometimes they are and sometimes they're not, depending on what subject matter we're covering that week. But week one is always my overview week. And what I do is I just sort of tell the students about what we'll be doing. I will demonstrate the computer games for them up on the smart board just so they know what to expect when they get to the computer station. And I will try to clear up any questions that they have before they start the stations the next week. And this is also a good time to get in any kind of like housekeeping items that you need to talk to your students about, because it probably won't take the entire class period to talk about the stations. And so you can get any other things out of the way, you know, behavioral issues or checkout issues or anything like that. You can work on that during that day. And then on weeks 2, 3, and 4, and you'll see on my lesson plans, It will say like week two or station one, week three or station two, week four or station three. And the reason that it says that is because you can use my lessons as standalone lessons if you prefer, or you can use them as stations. And so essentially, you'll be using three lesson plans for every day the students come in if you're doing stations. And the reason why is because you have three different groups doing three different activities. And so that can be a little bit tricky. Like if you're being observed, you will have to print out three different sets of lesson plans. But it's not a very big deal to me. I've done this before, you know, being observed, and the principal had no problem with it. So I don't think it should be a problem for you. If you want to see how this looks on the lesson plans, I'm going to post in the show notes a third grade sample. And I believe that the third grade sample is from the month of October. And you can just sort of see what I do in the stations and how that looks on the lesson plans. I want to tell you about why I like to use library stations, some advantages of using them. First of all, it helps with reviewing past topics. Usually in my lesson plans, I try to, in each month's stations, review a topic that we have done in the past, just to keep it fresh in the students' minds. We may talk about ABC order in September, just for example, and then a couple months later, we may review it in a station. And I think that's good just for reminding the students of what we've already done. Also, it is nice to be able to work with just a small group. Usually I try to work with one of my station groups at a table, and I will usually try to introduce something new at that station. And so it's nice to just have a handful of students and to really see if they are understanding what you're talking about. Just right there in that moment, you can let them ask you questions, you can ask them questions, and it's such a nice way to gauge the student understanding. Also, the students, they really enjoy working in small groups, as you know. I mean, they love to work in teams. They love to not have teacher interaction every second of the school day, and I think that it's a great way for them to learn. I think that peer learning is an awesome way to learn. If you can teach someone else something, that is the ultimate mastery, as we all know. And so I think that it's really important for us to kind of let loose of the reins sometimes and let the students have that opportunity to teach themselves. And finally, the weekly rotation of stations, it gives ample time to complete each activity. And I know some of you are thinking, I don't have time to do anything. And if you only have like a 30-minute library class with checkout, you probably don't have a lot of time. But for those of us who have a little bit different situations, you know, instead of switching the stations every 10 minutes, if you have 30 or 35 minutes, you switch every week. And so that means that each week your students get, you know, 25 to 30 minutes to work on that particular activity. And I really like that part of it because I feel like it's not super rushed like it would be if we rotated each class week. There are a few drawbacks to stations, of course, with any kind of, well, anything. There's pluses and minuses. Some of the drawbacks, it is hard to be in several places at once. If you are a one-woman or a one-man show, like I am a one-woman show at my school, I have no assistant. I work by myself. And so it is very difficult to be in three or four places at once, and it's impossible. But there are some things that you can do. One thing that I do, one strategy that I use in my stations is I always try to name a group captain for each team. And I choose someone that I know could answer questions for the team, you know, for the activity that they're doing that particular day. And it doesn't always have to be the same person. I usually do choose the same person just so I don't have 10 kids coming up to me and saying, hey, you know, who's going to be the group leader today? I don't want to hear that every class period. And so I like to name the same person as captain, but you can tell them, you know, instruct the students to say, hey, team captain, I need some help before they come to you. And that strategy has worked pretty well for me. I mean, it's not going to stop every question, but it will help somewhat. Another thing that I am working on right now, this weekend, in fact, I am working on a book called 101 Library Centers or 101 Library Stations. And in that book, I'm going to have printable student instruction cards. And so you will be able to print instruction cards for stations for your students to look at. And that way they won't have a lot of, now what are we supposed to do again? Kind of questions. They can just look right there on the instruction card and see what you expect of them. The station cards or the station book will not look exactly like the lesson plan. So what I'm saying is some of the stations from my yearly lesson plans may be included in the book, but there are some additional ones that I put in as well. So, you know, if you did buy the lesson plans, then a lot of them will work for you. If you did not buy the lesson plans, or if you are wondering, should I buy the station activities book, I would say if you want the student instruction cards and you don't want to have to make them yourself, it would be a great investment. So I'm making them for myself as much as I'm making them for you guys. So I'm really excited about this product. Also, if someone is absent, another drawback, if someone is absent, they do miss the activity. And so because we move on each week, they will miss out on that particular activity. And that's why I think that review is especially important, because if they do miss the activity, maybe the next month or a couple of months down the line, they can get a little refresher on that without having to, you know, go back and reteach the whole lesson. And like I said before, it is hard to combine checkout. I do understand that. I recognize that. But it's not impossible. So don't think just because you have library checkout during your class time that centers just will not work for you, because I think there is a way to make it work. Be sure to check out my blog post about my schedule and also how I use library stations for more information about how I use stations in my library and exactly what my schedule looks like. I will have links to those in the show notes for you, so you don't have to remember any of those addresses. Just go to elementarylibrarian.com/podcast3 and you will see all of the links to the things that I talked about today. Okay, so I'm going to move on now to some frequently asked questions about my library lesson plans. I've had such an awesome response to my sale and just to my lesson plans in general, and I just want to say thank you all so much. Like I said in another podcast, when I started this website, I had no idea what was going to happen with it. I didn't know if anyone would be interested in my lesson plans or think they were good or, you know, just a lot of self-doubt, I guess, and wondering. And so you guys have just made it so worthwhile for me, and I want to keep working so hard for you and also for myself and for my students. And so thank you so much. And to thank you for that, I'm going to extend my sale just a little bit longer. I had intended to end it last week, and it's just been such a success that I'm going to go on and continue it for at least one more week. And so if you've not had a chance to take advantage of the sale prices on the library lesson plans, I hope you can do so this month, because the price will be going up pretty soon. So just be on the lookout for that. There's no coupon code necessary right now, so if you want to take advantage of my sale, now is an awesome time to do it. I wrote a blog post not too long ago called Frequently Asked Questions About Library Lesson Plans, because I just had so many questions, and a lot of them were similar. But I have had a lot of new readers and listeners since I wrote that, and so I want to make sure that everyone's aware. First of all, if you would like to know what kind of subjects I cover in my lesson plans, you can check out my curriculum map. And the way that you find that is by going to elementarylibrarian.com. And up at the very, very top bar, the top menu bar, it says Library Curriculum. And if you click on that, you will see a little grid of what I do throughout the year. And that is exactly what is covered in my library lesson plans. So that is a great way to check out what you're going to be getting, just a brief overview. The next question that I get a whole lot is, Are the monthly lessons the same as the yearly, or are the kindergarten lesson plans, the first grade lesson plans, the second grade lesson plans, are all of those included in the year-long lesson plans? And the answer to that question is yes. The reason that I sell the monthly lesson plans is because when I first started my website back in the summer of 2012, I did not have the entire year completed yet. I had worked on several months during the summer, but I had to finish the rest on school breaks throughout the school year. And so I sold them monthly because, like I said, I didn't have the entire year done. So some people have bought, you know, maybe a couple of months and they need to finish out their collection. And so that's why I still sell the lesson plans in a monthly format. And also, it's a good opportunity for people who may not be sure they want to buy the whole year. They can just buy a smaller package to see if they think it will work for them. Another question that I get quite often is, what is not included? I know that I have a lot of different products, so it's probably a little bit confusing. The only things that are not included in the full year are the mini lesson packs, and I currently have three of those. There is a lesson pack on back to school, a lesson pack on the Caldecott and Newbery Medal, and there is a lesson pack on genres, and the current genres that we have are fairy tales, folk tales, and fantasy. And so there are going to be many, many more mini lesson packs coming out, so be looking for those. What I do with the mini lesson packs is I include subjects that I might have left out of the year-long lessons. And so a lot of people have asked for various subjects. I have a huge list of things that you guys have asked for that I am diligently working on. And so if you have a suggestion for that, you know, just go to elementarylibrarian.com and click contact me, and I'll be happy to listen to any suggestions that you have for materials you'd like to see in the future. Something else that I'm currently working on, in addition to the Library Centers book, like I said before earlier, I am going to have a book, 101 Library Centers, very, very soon, so I'll be looking for that. And another thing that I'm working on is a year-long sixth grade lesson plans. I've had several requests for that. I know a lot of you guys are in K-6 schools, and so that is something else that I plan to have done. I'm hoping to have it done before Christmas, and so we'll see how that goes on that. The next question that I often hear is, where do I find the lesson plan resources, and do I have to download them all at purchase time? Well, there's very good news there. The library lesson plan resources can be found on the top of my website. If you go to elementarylibrarian.com, there is a link at the top that says lesson plan resources. There's also one of the green dots in the center that says resources. And so all of my lesson plan resources can be found there. I have created lots of graphic organizers. I have created written activities for you guys to use. I have lots of links to other places out there on the internet that have awesome, awesome resources for you. And all of those are available, and they will continue to be available as long as my website exists. And so I don't plan on my website going anywhere anytime in the future. And so as long as my website is still going, the resources will still be there for you to use. I will check those links for you at least each year. And, you know, if I hear of anybody who found a broken link, I will definitely look into it and get it fixed. But I will maintain those for you guys, and you don't have to worry about downloading them. Now, the lesson plans, you do need to download within 48 hours because the link will expire after that time. But as far as the resources go, they will be there for you. So no worries there. Next question, is there anything that's not included with the lesson plans? Well, there are a very, very few things that are not included. The first thing, of course, would be any books that I recommend during the month, you know, maybe that I read out loud, something like that. Anything that I read, those books obviously are not included because I don't ship anything. So you would need to purchase those separately if you don't already have those in your library. I do include links to each book on the lesson plan resources page. And so if you're not sure exactly what book it is, you can click on that link and it will take you to an Amazon page that will show you the picture and the author and things of that nature. You can also purchase from Amazon if that's your choice, or you can purchase from the bookseller of your choice. It doesn't matter. I just want to have everything there in a convenient place for you to find when you're looking for the lesson plan resources. Also, the books called Complete Library Skills, those are a yellow and red book, and you can find those on Amazon as well, and I'm sure other booksellers sell them. There is a link on each month's resources page. And finally, I think the only other thing that is recommended by my lesson plans that I don't include in the resources page is an online encyclopedia, because at this time I'm not aware of any free online encyclopedias other than Wikipedia. And so if you want to use an online encyclopedia, you would need to either purchase that, or I know some states and districts provide it for their school libraries, and so you could look into that. The next question I get on almost a daily basis is, can I use a school purchase order? And the answer is yes. I'm very happy to accept school purchase orders. I do require that the purchase order be scanned and emailed, or that it be sent via postal mail. I cannot send any lesson plans unless I see the purchase order on the school letterhead. I need to have either a picture or a scanned in copy, or like I said, you can mail it in if you'd prefer. I do not have a fax number. I've had a lot of people ask for that, and at this time I don't have a fax number. I've had some people even take a picture with their phone and email it to me. That is fine. That's no problem. So if you need to do that, that's fine. It's just my accountant requires me to have an actual image of the purchase order or a physical purchase order. Once I receive the purchase order, an image of it, or the physical purchase order, I will email the lesson plans and a receipt to you. I will also invoice you with the specifications that you tell me. I know some people, some districts require the invoice to have a certain date, things of that nature. I will work with you anything that your district needs. If you need a special kind of paperwork, if you need a special date on the invoice, I'm happy to work with you. You just have to let me know. So if you're interested in purchasing via purchase order, you need to email me, jocelyn@elementarylibrarian.com. That's J-O-C-E-L-Y-N @elementarylibrarian.com. And of course, I will put that email address in the show notes for you. The lesson plans will be emailed, like I said, once I receive that purchase order. And then you will need to let your bookkeeper know so they can release payment. The next question that I get is, what format do the lesson plans come in? Some people have even asked, can I get a hard copy mailed? And the answer to those questions is, the lesson plans come in a PDF format. I do offer them also in publisher format that is editable. It is for an additional fee. If you are interested in that file, I will get it up on the Library Lesson Plans shopping cart so that you can purchase that without having to contact me. I've even done a couple of special requests for people who have a specific form that their district requires, and I was able to get the lesson plans in that format for them. If you would like to do something like that, just let me know. Just send me an email and I will look into it and see if it's possible. I do charge a little bit extra for that just because it's extra time for me, but a lot of times I'm able to make it work. So if you have something like that, like I said, just let me know and we'll talk about it. As far as mailing a hard copy, I don't do this just because it's very time consuming for me, and it's also very expensive to mail. This is a over 400 page book, and if I printed it and put it in a binder for you and mailed it, I think the cost would just be, you know, too much to do. I personally, if I were going to purchase this, I would just purchase it and print it out myself. The way that I printed out at school is I printed out front and back on our copier, and then I hole punch. If your copier hole punches, that is awesome. Just go ahead and have it hole punched and just stick it in a binder. That's what I do. The next question that I get very often is, where is my link? How do I find my lesson plans? Well, once you purchase, as soon as the payment processes through PayPal, you will be taken to a receipt page. On the receipt page, if you scroll down, it will say download. It will say the product name, and then it will say download right underneath it. It's not super obvious, so you'll have to kind of look a little bit to find that. If you miss it right after the download, the link will also be emailed to you and the receipt. So just be on the lookout for that. Be sure to check your bulk or spam folder in case you don't see it in your inbox, because sometimes it does go there. If you are still having trouble finding the download link, just send me an email and I'll be happy to look for you. It may take me a little while to get to it because I, like many of you, are back to school now. So it takes me a little bit longer to respond than it did in the summer. So just give me a little bit of time. I usually do try to respond to all my emails every day. So just, you know, try to find it on your own. And if you can't, I'll be happy to help. There's been a couple of issues come up about statewide data banks. Here in Kentucky, we have a new program. It's called SITS, and I can't remember exactly what all of the letters stand for. As you know, in education, we are very, very fond of acronyms. But at any rate, basically, what we have to do in the state of Kentucky is we are supposed to post all of our lesson plans onto this system. And if you look at my terms and conditions, which you can find at elementarylibrarian.com/terms-and-conditions, I'll put that in the show notes. If you look at my terms and conditions, it does state that my lesson plans may not be posted verbatim on any kind of electronic system that anyone can access. In my state, anyone in the state can access the lesson plans. You may reference my lesson plans in an electronic system, but they should not be posted verbatim. Okay, we have reached the end of the frequently asked questions about library lesson plans. If there is a question that I did not cover that you would like to ask, first of all, be sure to check out my frequently asked questions about library lesson plans post. You can also check out my frequently asked questions on my website, which can be found at the very, very top bar if you go to elementarylibrarian.com. And you can also email me if there's still something that you don't understand or you need help with, and I'll be happy to help you at any time. And finally, the most exciting part of the podcast, I'm going to tell you about how you can win an iPad mini from elementarylibrarian.com. Like I said earlier, you guys have been so awesome the last couple of months. I mean, I have just been blown away just by how many people have, you know, come to me and said, thank you for your lesson plans. Thank you for your website. Thank you for your podcast. And that's what it's all about. You know, I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing it to help people make their libraries awesome and to help me make my own library awesome. I want all students to have an awesome library experience. And so because of that, I thought that I would share some of the love, and I'm going to give away an iPad mini later this month. Ways to enter. You can enter on my website. The way that you do that is by purchasing any Elementary Librarian product from June 1st, 2013 through August 31st, 2013. If you have purchased any product, that includes my library lesson plans, my mini lesson packs, or my 101 Library Centers book, anytime this summer, starting on June 1st, if you have already purchased, you would be eligible to win. Or if you purchase from now through August 31st. You can also enter by rating the Elementary Librarian podcast on either iTunes or Stitcher. I, as of right now, do not have a whole lot of ratings, and so I would love for you guys to go and rate it. It just takes a couple of seconds. All you have to do is click a star rating, one star if you don't like it so much, or five stars if you really, really like it. And please rate honestly. I would love to hear your feedback and know how I can improve my show. And the way that you're going to enter is by going to elementarylibrarian.com/winanipad. And it's all together, win an iPad. And I'll put that on the show notes too, so you don't have to remember that. But I will be doing a random drawing on August 31st, and the winner will be announced on September 1st. But in order to win, you must fill out the form. Okay, just because you bought something doesn't mean you're automatically entered. You will be entered as long as you fill out the form. And the form will have a place for your name, your email, how to contact you if you've won, and what you did to enter. And so, like I said, the three ways to enter are by purchasing any product on elementarylibrarian.com from June 1st until August 31st, and also by leaving a comment or a rating on iTunes or Stitcher for the Elementary Librarian Podcast. And so please remember that you need to fill out the form to be eligible to win, because I need to have your contact information. And finally, I want to tell you a little bit about some upcoming podcasts that I have planned. I have some super outstanding guests that I cannot wait to talk to, and I cannot wait to just interact with and ask questions for you. And I'm just so excited about the upcoming podcast. Stay tuned. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast via iTunes or Stitcher. And if, like I said before, if this podcast is helpful to you, if you're enjoying it, if you want to tell me ways to improve it, please contact me on my website. But especially if you would leave a rating or a review on iTunes or Stitcher, I would really, really appreciate it. I hope those of you who are back in school are having an awesome school year. Mine is going pretty well. It's a little crazy. My house is not quite as clean as it should be, but otherwise things are going really well. Those of you who haven't started back yet, I'm jealous, and your day will come soon. So that's all that I have for you today. I hope you have enjoyed the podcast. I hope it answered some of your questions, and I hope you guys have a great day.
Librarian Podcast, brought to you by ElementaryLibrarian.com.